For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Thanks for attending this workshop. This is going to be an exceptional workshop, the likes of which will be a culmination of some of the things that were shared on the earlier workshops. But I am so proud to introduce the leader of this workshop, Deborah Peterman. She is an awesome, awesome co-worker and fellow laborer in God's Vineyard. I first met Deb, I think, when I saw her from a distance, volunteering at one of our Johnny and Friends family retreats. And my comment to one of the leadership there at the retreat was, who is that lady? She's incredible. She's everywhere and doing everything. One of those kinds of people, you know, and is very, very well acquainted with disability, not only because of her own family and the loss and tragedy that she has experienced, she and her husband and her own family, and maybe you'll touch on that, I don't know, but even some current limitations, what with her voice, and that's been a big challenge for her as well. But Deb works in the extension office here in the Columbus area of Johnny and Friends, and the main office for the Johnny and Friends presence here in Ohio is headed up by Donna Hughes over there, more around from the Xenia area, right, and I'm not an Ohioan, so don't ask me where that is, but Deb asked if I might open the workshop first with prayer and then with a short story to set it up, and then listen up and we'll all learn a lot, and there'll be a time of questions and answers afterward. So join me in prayer, would you? Father God, awesome in wonders you are, great and glorious. We look outside these windows, we see the beautiful blue sky, white clouds, green earth, verdant trees, and we are filled with praise, for you're so good to us to give us this beautiful earth. And as the wind moves through the trees, we think of the way your Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, always prodding and pushing, always convincing, always consoling, always comforting, and even convicting us of sin. Lord Jesus, would you show us something new about yourself today? Show us about the people that you love. Because we know, Lord Jesus, that you hung out with so many disabled people when you walked on earth. On every page of the gospel, you were hobnobbing with somebody with a disability. So we want to know more about your heart for these people. And we want to reflect your heart through our churches and our families and our neighborhoods. So guide Deb as she teaches, and help us all listen attentively and learn much about your heartbeat and your passion for those with disabilities. In your wonderful name, amen. I attend a church where we have an elder of special ministries. Actually, my husband and I don't attend that church anymore. It's pretty far from where we live, so we go to a smaller congregation closer to our home. But at one time, we did attend this large fellowship, and it had a very thriving disability ministry. About 700 people, if you can believe that. Not only volunteers, and not only families affected by disability, but it even had a special ministries elder, an elder that was right there on the elder board to do nothing but oversee the special ministry outreach. His name was Greg, a good friend of mine he is. One day he got a telephone call. It was from a friend of his, a pastor friend, from a congregation down the street, not far from this particular church. And the pastor on the other end of the line went through the small talk and then finally got around to the point of the conversation. He said, Greg, I got a family that's been coming to my church recently, and they've got a little boy with some severe autism and other issues that I don't even know the names for, and you know, I was talking to our elders, and well, we just think this family would be better suited and perhaps would fit in better with your church. So do you mind if you give them a call and invite them to your congregation? Well, Greg thought that might be okay, but he wasn't going to let this pastor off the hook so quickly. And he pushed him a little bit further, asked a few more questions. Finally, in frustration on the other end of the line, this friend of his said, look, I'll get to the point. I am afraid that one day the parents of this kid are going to come into my study And that dad is going to sit in front of my desk and slam his fist on my desk and look at me and say, you tell me why God has cursed us with this child. And Greg, I don't know what I would say. I don't know how I'd answer him. So would you please take this family? It broke Greg's heart. Needless to say, that family ended up attending our fellowship. And yes, we were able to embrace this family, even though this child had some really special challenges. But that pastor is not unique. He is not uncommon. Unfortunately, that is the take that many pastors have on disability. They look at someone, some child, with severe autistic behavior, a spectrum disorder that includes so many different kinds of multiple handicapping conditions that you get tongue-tied with all the labels. And they wonder, where is the goodness of God in this? That is an issue that I'll be speaking to tonight. But most pastors have no answers from God's word. They don't know what to say. And I'm so grateful that Johnny and friends, we've really delved deep into questions like that. To not shame pastors or make them feel guilty, don't make them feel worse, but just aid them, help them, encourage them, cheer them on, shed a little light into the darkness of their thinking. And that's what Deb and Donna do so well here in Ohio. What great resources they are for you. If you have any questions about the kind that I just mentioned, that pastor voiced, or any other sorts of queries about disability ministry, I tell you, Deb and Donna are your go-to girls. They are the best team ever in our ministry, and I'm just so grateful to have the honor of welcoming up here to the platform Deb Peterman. Would you welcome her with an applause? My hands don't work.
Yeah. Thank you, Deb.
So sweet.
You helped out. Need some help down? I got it. Okay. Well, and Johnny and I have this little cough thing going on, and she coughed the last time we saw her, and she said that she now has my coughing disease. So we have that in common, huh? Here with Johnny and friends, how many of you, is this the first time you may have seen Johnny ever? Okay, how many of you have heard her? Maybe on radio, or how about read the books? That's right. It's amazing to me how many people who are either PTs or OTs have read your book, Johnny, and they said, I chose this profession because of Johnny. It's amazing how many people have said that to me. I'm sure Donna as well. You're a hard act to follow, and we love you. Johnny and Friends is an international disability ministry. Here in Ohio, we have an area director, which is Donna Hughes, and I am an extension office. My role with Johnny and Friends Ohio is to help churches begin and develop disability ministries. And it's something I've been doing in my own church for 15 years. And actually, I became part of a disability community when my brother was diagnosed at the age of 4 with severe mental retardation. My people group changed, and to this day, they are my people group. And so when someone chooses to hang out with my people, I am truly blessed. The mission statement for Johnny and Friends, should I get this? Is to communicate the gospel and equip Christ-honoring churches worldwide to evangelize and disciple people affected by disabilities. And we use the word affected because usually a person who has a disability has other people in their life, whether it be their parents or their siblings or their caregiver. We are all really affected by the disability of sin. Correct? Okay. As part of church relations, we offer different programs that help train churches to begin disability ministries, or even to make a call to us to see, hey, we've got this family we'd like to serve. We're here to serve you and help things get started on the right track at your churches. And we do not charge for this. We actually love doing this. We are missionaries in our own field right here. We hang out with those folks. We know the language. We know the hearts and the hurts. And it's something that we love to do. Here in Ohio, we have Through the Roof Academies. Has anyone here ever gone to a Through the Roof Academy? You two, three, okay. Through the Roof Academies are just training opportunities that we offer that are usually topical. The workshops that we're doing here under the Zenos Summer Institute is considered a Through the Roof workshop. So you are sitting right now in workshop three. What we do is we typically have a topic, and then we have workshops that really give a well-rounded perspective on how we can help people be part of the Christian community. Our next Through the Roof Academy is on August 22nd at Xenia, which is about an hour away. And we will be working with another ministry who has some great wisdom on hidden disabilities. So the topic will be ADD, ADHD, and autism. One of the wonderful ways to start a disability ministry, our last workshop, we talked about creating a buddy program. And for the emphasis of this workshop, we will use the same topic, beginning a one-on-one connection for a child to be part of a typical class. Now, one thing that helps to make the program last is using a disability awareness program a Sunday. Now, I frankly like to call them Through the Roof Sunday just because I like the drama of the four friends dropping their friend through the roof. And how many of you are familiar with the Mark II Through the Roof story? Does anyone need me to tell it? I'll tell you anyway. Four friends saw that their friend needed to be at the feet of Jesus, and they approached this house where Jesus was speaking, and there was this huge crowd. And they decide, how are we going to get him to meet Jesus? Because they had faith enough to know that maybe Jesus can do something for their friend. So what do? They climb up on the roof, break a hole in the roof, and drop their friend at the feet of Jesus. When we do that, when we create a place for someone to come to church, to get them close to the feet of Jesus, if we're right next to them, we're there too. We get to see Jesus not only work in their lives, but in ours as well. Excuse me. Sorry. I had vocal cord surgery, so that's why I'm sounding like this. Sometimes I have harmony, and sometimes nothing comes out, and it's just always a guessing game. But with the scriptures that are relevant, we always talk a lot in disability ministry on the Luke 14. How many of you are familiar with the Luke 14 passage? It's a great banquet, another name for it. Yeah, it is very commonly used with disability ministry as well as Through the Roof, where the master tells the servant, go out and tell people that we are going to have a banquet. And when the servant went out, all these people had these excuses why they couldn't attend. So the servant returns to the master, and the master gets angry. And he says, go back out there and compel people to come back. Come to this great banquet. And then another passage says that you will be blessed. So when we provide a place for people to be part of the community, we are doing that. And we are also going to be blessed. Yesterday we had a pastor's luncheon with some pastors and Johnny. And I had a friend of mine come and help serve. She is a parent, and her son has a very severe seizure disorder and is really failing mentally. And Johnny was telling me that, you know, she was thankful that we had a program for her son to be part of. I'm probably more blessed too, because without their son, I'd never know them, and they're good friends, and they're my brothers and sisters. So it's a two-way thing. Okay, here's another story for the Through the Roof. This gentleman, this is in Honduras. This man actually was dropped off by a truck full of people, and he crawled himself to one of our wheelchair distributions. Now, with Johnny and friends, we have a program called Wheels for the World, where we collect used mobility equipment, have prison sites in the country, refurbish them, and then we take them on planned mission trips where occupational and physical therapists and mechanics fit people for wheelchairs. Well, the local evangelist told this man that Johnny and friends was coming, and he came. And it's amazing the transformation when someone is fitted, taking them from the ground and giving them the dignity of having a seat. It was amazing. I felt like I was at the feet of Jesus seeing this transformation. And here's another story. This is Edwin. The previous director had met Edwin in his kitchen, and this child stayed in this chair all day. That was where he stayed in the kitchen. And so she did not have any pediatric chairs at the time, but took his measurements and came back home looking for a fit. So Edwin is now with a chair of his own. And do you notice his little teeth missing with that smile? I asked the person who took the picture, I said, how long did it take for him to have that smile? She said, like that. He knew he can be able to be with kids and get out of the house and get out of the floor and out of the chair. Amazing story. So why have Sunday that's for particularly for people with disabilities? Excuse me. One, it changes the heart of the congregation and prepares them for ministry. We have several resources, but one that I bring up is called Through the Roof Manual. I wish I had this 15 years ago. It really would have helped me out a lot, and Dad and I were both sharing that we wish we had this resource. But this basically goes point by point how to prepare your church to welcome all. You know, it's one thing to create a ramp, but if you don't have a heart change of the church, the ramp means nothing. We can get them in the door, but if we're not welcoming, it hasn't done anything. Maybe even caused more disappointment. Our society really honors people who are smart and make a lot of money, drive nice cars, all those kind of things. And really, the church has started to buy into that. And I remember a time Johnny had talked in California, and she talked about Christianity being messy. And we were at a disability awareness program, and there were people laying on the floor on mats because their backs were their pain. And there were guide dogs, and you know, we could picture everything, headgear. And when you said that, I thought, yes, it is. You know, but we've made it where people will sit in a row. We clap at the right time, you know. And so when we have people that just look like us and we invite them, then our church looks like us. But when we welcome all people, the church will look more like Jesus. One thing, I think this more than maybe out in the community, when we do have an event like this, it helps the community know that we are starting to think about who is outside the church. And do we value people? You know, do we think that they can know Jesus? Someone asked earlier today, well, how do you know if when you're teaching a class on Jesus, if someone understands it? Well, you know, sometimes when we talk to typical people, we share Jesus. We don't know if they understand it. So people with limitations are no different. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to show him who Jesus is. Okay, where do we start? We pray. And you also are doing another part where we start. You're coming someplace to learn, and you're getting ideas, and hopefully your heart will say, yeah, we can do something when you leave this week. The goals of the disability ministry is to open doors to welcome all. Again, a ramp doesn't do it. It integrates people into the life of the community. I think personally we need those folks more than they need us. I have a Sunday school class that we take into the church for the first half hour of music, and as a sibling myself, I was afraid that what if bad behaviors happen, will we get kicked out? But I had more people, as we would sit in worship and we would leave after communion and go to a class for a lesson, and I had one girl and she was just like waving to everybody as she's walking out the aisle. Well, yeah, I thought, well, hey, she's being herself, go for it, girl, you know. But it's amazing now how many people are waving back or tapping them. It's like God used them to make us more like Jesus and welcoming. Again, this is more of a community scene that when we start doing an intentional program like preparing for an event like Disability Awareness Sunday, you'll be talking to people who are not in church who might be in the field of disability for ideas. And so there's an awareness in the community thinking, I wonder what's going on with that church. And this is a fun thing. I want to show you the impact of the Jesus math. This is little Tommy. I got a call from his grandmother asking if we had a place for her grandson, because her grandson was kicked out of the Sunday school program at their other church. And I said, yes, we do. We have, you know, a buddy program. And so with Tommy, he brought his mother, his father, his sister, and aunt and uncle. So sometimes we get so stuck at looking at just the person that we forget that they have family and friends that also are part of the kingdom. It's huge kingdom work. Here's another example. Okay, this is Joshua. Joshua will be playing piano tomorrow night. Joshua is now 22, but he was 8 when he started. Well, he came to church. He invited his friend Jennifer. Jennifer invited Anthony. There's Anthony. Jennifer also invited Bianca and Melinda. She invited Joseph. She invited Sam. She invited Mary, and she invited Courtney and Susan. Get the picture? Pretty awesome, huh? Okay. We recommend going to other churches. We love it when people come to our churches and be part of our program for the morning. Because if you can be in the midst of it, and you know the heartbeat of your church, then you can kind of be thinking, oh, we can do this, this would work, that would work. So when you're in the midst of it, you can get ideas. God can be preparing a vision for you. We have a wonderful thing with Family Treat, which also gives you in the midst of that, but we'll talk about that later. A wonderful thing about going to visit other places, you can bring your ideas back. You can say, well, you know what, we don't have a buddy program, but it might work for this service, or maybe we need one for teens, or maybe we need a teen class. So you be thinking creatively of how God can do something in your own church. And of course, you can call us. Donna's program is a lot different than my program. It's because churches are different. They start differently. There's different people there. And you usually start with the people that God brings you. Excuse me. One of the resources that would be really good to have is the special needs smart pages. This has everything. If you don't leave with anything, this is, you want to get this. all reproducible art, ideas on applications, how to talk to families, tips and resources, learning centers, schedules. Amazing, amazing thing. And the other resource is a Through the Roof manual, as I showed you earlier. This is, would help you in thinking about, okay, let's do a church walkthrough. And the walkthrough, there's a checklist here. And I highly recommend have someone who uses a wheelchair do the walkthrough. And don't help them, that's cheating. And you have to watch them try to push the door by themselves. It brings an awareness of what maybe physical changes you can make that would work to get that welcome mat happening. In Psalm 139:13, we got this information out of the Smart Page as disabled by design. Your God makes no mistakes. He doesn't. My brother was born typical, got sick at 6 months of age, and ended up with a high fever, and ended up with brain injury. He's nonverbal. He has severe mental retardation. He kind of has some autistic characteristics, and I can keep going with the labels. He has no idea how God has used his life to change me, to change the church, to be here to help you. Amazing. Someday when he and I are in heaven, I can't wait to ask him, because you'll sit and talk to him and he'll say, or he won't say anything, I'll ask him a question, and he'll look away and then smile. So I can't wait when I see him in heaven and say, okay, what were you thinking when you did that little smile thing? Okay, this woman right here, she is a sister of a children's pastor here in town, and she goes to an adult daycare where her ministry is she likes to color coloring pages, and then she writes scriptures on them and she gives them to people, and that's her ministry. So when we brought some special delivery items, which is something that we can do with hospital visitations with Johnny and Fitz. We have a program called Special Delivery. And we get items that we can wrap up, make them look nice, and visit people in the hospital, home, or group homes. In this case, it was an adult daycare. And so I asked all the people who were sitting in this little shoehorn, horseshoe, who here got a letter from Mary? And this lady took it out of her purse. I did. And then I said, who else? Was a staff member. So God uses her, it was her coloring pages in the scripture, and she folds it up to bless these people that most people do not go visit. It's wonderful. Recognize that. For reasons only God knows, he has chosen to permit individuals to become disabled. And nobody chooses that. Romans 8:28 tells us that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. James 1:33 says that suffering develops perseverance. Surprise. The reason only God knows that disability can have a part in cultivating spiritual maturity. I think about Johnny and all the things that she's written of her experiences, just challenging people to keep seeking the Lord regardless of the circumstances. And I truly believe God is glorified through the work that you do, and we really appreciate it. I was thinking, I was 7 years old when you had your accident. But I was thinking how sweet God knew that he'd use you to help families like mine. You know, in his kindness, you get to see that sometimes, so thank you. Okay, the three levels of disability ministry, creating awareness. That would be having a Disability Awareness Sunday. It's not an event. It is a way to prepare the church's heart. After you do your Disability Awareness Sunday, then you make a choice. Are we going to take it further than just having people know that we've built ramps or we have a buddy program? Are we going to take it a little bit further and take it out to the highways and the byways and compel people to bring them in? And my favorite thing is outreach. I love going fishing. I love calling all the secular organizations and asking what they're doing and how we can be a part of it. It's amazing how many believers you meet who work with MRDD or Easter Sales or all those just different organizations. Many have been very helpful to my family. Okay, rewards. How many of us like to be stretched by the Lord? You like to be stretched? Do you go looking for it? And it's amazing how hindsight we can be okay with it because we see that it was there. But I think sometimes people are fearful of doing something because they just don't know what it's going to look like. But that's the Christian walk. It's a spiritual benefit for the church members. It's heart stretching. I can't tell you how many times the kids in our program tug on people's hearts around them when they see it. I have a little girl named Faith. She spent 98 days in pediatric intensive care at like a couple of weeks old. And she has a hugging ministry. Now she has Down syndrome. She's very little. She's now, I think, almost 12. She probably won't grow a lot more. But she hugs people. And every Sunday morning, there's a long line to talk to Pastor Rich. And she waits her turn. And she just moves up and she gives him a hug. And so God uses her in that way to remind him we're here. We matter. Another time, Faith was just learning to walk when she was six. And I remember our mother wanted to talk. So I said, I'll go chase her. I'll let her walk. We'll go walking down the hallway. Well, I'd seen this woman sitting by herself. And I had a tug like of loneliness. I feel like deep loneliness. But Faith kind of got my attention. We walked away. And as we were walking back to the hallway, this lady was walking towards us. Faith ran up to her and hugged her here. Because she was short. And this lady looked up at me and she said, I haven't been hugged in a long time. Sorry. A lot of our people haven't been loved in a long time. Okay, and then there's outreach of families and communities, and our churches will look more like Jesus. Okay. Make sure I'm keeping up here. These scriptures, just are just reminders of why we do this. It's because we're looking at their spirit. I mean, we all have a spirit. There was a mother who was a well-known personality, radio personality here, and she was talking about her daughter who was severely developmentally delayed. And she had, I was struggling with a little girl that was part of my class, and every time she'd come to class, she cried the whole time. And I thought, how can I comfort her? How can I comfort her? How can I? Because I want her parents to go to church. You know, and all of a sudden it was all about me. How can I? So when I met this woman and she started talking about her daughter, she said, my daughter's spirit is not retarded. And it was like the power of God just broke the power of labels. You know, when you grow up without the Lord and you know a label, you can picture someone who has cerebral palsy and you got a picture in your mind. Or someone who uses a wheelchair, you have this picture. And God used this woman's comment to break that power of the labels, that God can reach anyone's spirit. The label means nothing to him. Okay, so let's say you decide you want to do a Disability Awareness Sunday. Maybe God is already showing you some people that you could serve right away. And so one thing I would recommend is ask God, is this what you want me to do? Who are the people group you're calling me to be with? He may be showing you a picture of a person. It might be a teen group. It might be a single adult group. But he'll show you. And for today, we're going to just focus on using a buddy program as a reason why we're doing a Disability Awareness Sunday. Okay? You want to pray for the name of your buddy program. Just have a name. Don't go too childish. You can just call it a buddy program. It's pretty right there. And when you choose a mission statement, keep it somewhat vague so God can grow it. So for us, my church is called Bridge Builders, a disability ministry for people affected by disabilities. Pretty open. It's not geared towards children, not geared towards adults. It just allows God a chance to grow it. This is Laura. Laura was born with a very little brain. And her parents were missionaries. And they had to come back to the States for his work. He was with Wycliffe Bible Translators. Anyway, Laura, when we would pray, she got really intense. And she Jesus, thank you for the church. I tell his story because I love her. She loves the Lord. And people write her up because she's just not this well-versed or doesn't really have a lot of speaking ability. But she got it. And she reminded me of that. Other ways of having people pray, go visit with small groups. Tell them that you're thinking about doing something along this line, ask them if they're willing to serve. They might be ushers, greeters, maybe help with the church walkthrough, maybe build a ramp like they did here, so that we could have Johnny come up on the stage for us. You can also let people know that you want to have team members, and you want those people to go to their small groups and see if there's anybody else that might be interested in starting a disability ministry at your church. Here's the big thing, talking to your pastor. Have any of you ever gone to your pastor with an interest of starting a disability ministry? Okay. Do you want to share what that was like? Yeah. It really helps when your pastor is on board. I think some churches, the pastor thinks they have to start everything, and so they're overwhelmed. And so rather than, thinking about it, it's like, no, we can't do it. So I think sometimes we have to do our homework ahead of time and then be able to present it maybe with more visuals. You want to share the benefits of inclusion. Maybe share a personal story of someone you know who's impacted your life. Maybe you have a disability. What does it mean to be part of the body of Christ? just telling your story or someone else's makes people real, the best thing to do is bring them with you to talk with your pastor. And we can come and help train. The next picture, we actually did a church. See if it comes up. Hang on 1 second. Okay. In this picture, we actually did a training for the church, the staff. So we had given everybody a disability or two, and they had to work their job all morning long with it. They ate lunch halfway through, they had the other disability, and then we talked about their experience. In this case, this is my friend Nicole, and I just needed her to help me be like my prop. Well, Nicole wheeled in with me. She is not a wheelchair user, but she was willing to wheel the chair in. And what I was doing was seeing how quickly they were going to adjust their plan when they did not think about including a person with that uses a wheelchair. And this team of folks quickly kicked up, okay, how can we change the room, where we're gonna go, without her even knowing. So their heart was there to make the adaptation needed to include her. As a little side note, this is the pastor, and Pastor Pelfrey likes to talk. So his disability was he wasn't allowed to talk. And so that was a stretch for him. But he was a team player. Okay, on the day of the actual event, you want to set the date, the type of program that you want. It could be, have your pastor maybe talk about Through the Roof, or the Great Banquet, Luke 14. We can get testimonies from people affected by disabilities, or maybe you have a family that's part of your church. Ask them to say what it's like to be part of the body, and how did it bless them. Some families are new. They might even introduce their child. This is my son John. We're not able to find a church, but we're looking for one. These are some of the things that come, obstacles that come in our paths. And that way, they're letting the church know that there are real people out there that need to be sitting where you guys are as part of the body. In this case here, we had the celebration dancers. Now this is Little Faith right here. And I told you she had a hugging ministry. Well, this woman right here, she decided that she was gonna help us out with the a dance, and they used the song, You Turn My Morning Into Dancing, and she even created these capes that were all black on one side, and underneath there were bright colors. And so the kids learned how to dance. They had the black cape over them, and then it talked about turning my morning into dancing, flipping those capes for the bright colors. So it's very visual, and it was a lot of fun. This is the first time that she had ever worked with people with developmental disabilities of all ages, and she had a blast. The worship team, they can pick music. What is the name of the blind woman, Fanny? Crosby, thank you. You may have hymns of Fanny Crosby, since she's blind. So just thinking about people's talents and what they can do. Inside of this Through the Roof manual, you'll have these items in there. You have your special church survey. Now that's something that you can pass out weeks before the actual Disability Awareness Sunday, and ask you, basically, do you know anyone with a disability? Do they use a wheelchair? It's just kind of getting a pulse for the people that you know, and it also starts like a buzz around, like, I wonder what's going on. We're asking about things related to disability without hitting them over the head. I mentioned about doing the church walkthrough. Don't you do it. You have someone else do it, preferably someone who uses a wheelchair manual one, or even a powered one, because double glass doors are really hard to get through, aren't they? Without making a racket. Okay. When you're recruiting your team, what kind of people are you looking for? You're looking for people who are kind, who just have a wonderful heart. When I was thinking about starting, I wanted to pray about where God wanted me to serve. And this was probably about 16 years ago. And he showed me a Sunday school class of my brother when he was little. And I said, no way, I'm done with mental retardation, pick something else. And what would happen is I would go to playgrounds with my two daughters, and there would be a family there that I could not readily invite because we were not ready. So finally, on a Monday, I laid down a fleece, probably about 4 months later. Okay, Lord, if you really want me to do this, I need curriculum geared for children with mental retardation. I go to my foot doctor 3 days later, pick up Moody magazine, under the article, under his wings, how to teach multi-handicapped children about God. So, excuse me. So I knew that this was from the Lord, and I had great peace. And then my next challenge was to go tell my children's pastor that I think this is what God's calling me to do. And I didn't do it boldly. I think God wants me to start a class. And it was really cool because she did not say, well, we have to pray about it. We got to get with the board members. Whatever. She said, yeah, that's God's heart. And she helped me through it. So I was blessed to have someone that embraced it right away. Now here's the question. Do we publicize a Disability Awareness Sunday? Let's say in this case we're talking about wanting to start a buddy program. Most likely, when you do a Disability Awareness Sunday, your program is not fully ready to go. You're basically giving people a heads up that this is the direction the church is going to. It's a great place to start recruiting people to be part of a program. So I personally would not recommend advertising it unless you are ready to welcome all who come in the door. It's just like when people say, we would like to have a respite program, but we don't have a buddy program on Sunday. We're not ready for the kids. So it's almost like you have to think, okay, we need to start within the church building. Are we ready? Are we ready before we do anything? And when you are, then you start small. Again, here's the walkthrough. This was the church walkthrough, and she actually got stuck in the bathroom. But that was a good eye-opener for her. And then on the day, go ahead and take photographs. One thing that Johnny says is that if you don't take a photograph, it hasn't happened. And so, you know, you can put in your church newsletter, we did this, this is what, you know, maybe a picture of the celebration dancers or whatever. But that could be the way to present to the community that your church is desiring to welcome all. Okay, these are my two little guys. I love these kids. This little boy was adopted. He has HIV, and he does have developmental disabilities, but he always has a smile on his face. And this is Tommy again. This is the little one that his grandmother called and said, do you have a place for my son, my grandson? Are they cute? I think Tommy's about this tall now. It's been so long, I haven't seen him. At the Disability Awareness Sunday, you do want to have a sign-up table in the lobby for people who might be interested in being part of the team. One thing you could also ask for are people who are in the field that might serve as your behind-the-scenes consultants. You know, they may not want to serve because they're special ed teachers, but they have the knowledge on how to train, or they can be your person. You can call and say, listen, we have this child, and this is what's happening. You have any ideas? So it's just a goal to create a team of people who have a willing heart and people who have knowledge. Now, I did call that lady in that article. In that article, I called her, and I had my pen and paper ready, waiting for her to tell me everything to do. And I'm listening, and she said, "All you need is a willing heart." That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted details, this stuff. You know, but you know what? I've been doing this for so long that that is the truth. You know, we are to have willing hearts to welcome all if we truly are imitators of Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to show you a Children's Through the Roof program, and we're just going to have a little fun with this. This was before Smart Pages and before the Through the Roof manual. This here is actually the bulletin board, and we made little fake tickets, and we just kind of made it like it was a movie, Through the Roof Coming Soon. And at that time, we were having an addition done to a building, so they had a yellow tent, so it had nothing to do with the Through the Roof Sunday, but we kind of played with it. And we advertised by putting feet through the window, through the ceiling, and that was a good eye catcher. And then, how many of you have spouses that you make them do things they don't want to do? Well, my husband's a trooper, but here he is here. And what we did is we told the story of Through the Roof. That was our shack or our house. And so they were part of telling the story about Through the Roof. We had some hands-on experiences. And this here is a puppet that I have. Maybe I don't. It's about the length of my arm. And what we did is, a friend of mine acted like Johnny Carson, and we did an interview with the foot, with Mr. Foot. I can't remember the scripture, I wrote it down. 1 Corinthians 14:16. And so we based Mr. Foot on, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not be for the reasons cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body." And so we just kind of had fun with Mr. Foot here, being interviewed by Mr. Carson. We had an interpreter, and we had an interpreting section. We did not have any deaf kids, but we wanted to show what a disability awareness Sunday is. We're considering, well, what if the Lord brings someone who's deaf? So we would need an interpreter. And here, we only had two friends, because I couldn't find four friends for the Through the Roof, but here's my husband trying to figure out how to get his friend on that roof. We had some more hands-on experiences here, and actually on this side, these kids are mouth painting, imitating Johnny. This picture doesn't look very clear, but we had visual impairment glasses, so the kids had to learn, had to try to read with a certain kind of visual impairment. Now, today, we have disability awareness kits. We did not have that. But here, we have two of them with Johnny and friends for kids ages 4 to 12. And it gives hands-on experience. It does talk about a disability, and then gives kids the experience, and then talks about what they can do. This particular one, Mission Unstoppable, the missions component is geared towards our Wheels for the World program, which is where we collect mobility equipment and take them overseas, as we were talking about earlier. And this one here, Camp Lean on the Lord, is focused on the mission component is for family retreat. where the kids can earn money to send a camper to our family retreats. This is just the end of one of the missions things that the kids had completed. One of the, I think it was Mission Unstoppable. Okay. How are we doing time-wise? Okay. Come on up. Do we have time? You want to see the heroes? Okay, do you guys have any questions?
Just a quick brief, I don't know if you didn't have yet, but those two programs that you just showed, are those geared more toward an ongoing program for maybe a couple months, like during Sunday school, or more like a summer, like a everyday, all day sort of thing, or is it pretty open-ended where it's there?
You can use it any way you want. Actually, if your church is going to do a Disability Awareness Sunday, you can take one of those days and use them 5 weeks before the actual event. Or you can do it on a Wednesday night program and just do one chapter. Or, I mean, you can use it in so many ways, but their focus is disability awareness. So it's not set up like a VBS.
Okay.
That help?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the answer to this question really might be get over it. And so if that's the answer, I really want you to say that, because that may be all I need to hear. But my question is, I'm the only wheelchair user at our church. And I sometimes get in the mode where, in terms of wanting to bring something up, whether it's an awareness thing or whether it's an accessibility issue or whatever, I get concerned in my own head that it's going to, people are going to think that it's like all about me. And sometimes it's something that doesn't even, it isn't really an issue for me, but it's just so I can be more aware of it because it would be an issue if something was a little different or something. Mm-hmm. And it's the sort of thing where I'm afraid it's going to come across that, I just want the whole church to set up, and I don't need convincing, in terms of, needing it to be a welcoming place for other people or whatever, but I get into that mode. Is that something I just need to get over? But I just, I get worried that that's going to be the perception that, I just want the whole church to be revolved around what's.
Well, it's funny because people will say, well, we don't have anyone like that here.
Right, because they can't come.
But you know what? We're all going to get older.
Exactly.
But I believe you can approach it as just God using you to build a bridge so that someone else can come over it.
Right, and then just get over my little, the part in terms of me thinking are people just going to, think that I'm, just worried about me, because I know that's not the case.
But you're so tuned into it because it's part of your life that your wisdom is really what they
and
need.
And use it as an advantage, not a disadvantage.
Yeah. Thing. Well, maybe we can help you do something intentional.
Right.
And then it would be more focused. You can use us and not you and that kind of thing.
Thank
you. That was a good question. Okay, you're some new folk back there. What brought you in here today? Just curious?
Yeah. Just to get an idea for what this is all about. I've never heard of this before, this conference.
Yeah.
So just seeing this on the schedule to see if it ever came up where I'd have an opportunity to see what would be the resource for that.
Thank you for doing that. Just being willing to go someplace that's just maybe not your normal route. But I thank you for doing that. And we love to help people, in whatever way, so that people can be part of the church body, their gifting can be used. So I just thank you for coming in here for that. Yes.
Thank you, Deb. So often people tend to think that what Deb's been talking about is an option, that it's really it's really something that we don't need at our church, that it's not that important. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22 says that those parts of the body, that is the body of Christ, that seem to be weaker, we treat with special respect. And those that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. It's interesting because it doesn't say those who are weaker or those who are less honorable. It says those who seem to be weaker, those we think are less honorable. But the next verse says the weaker members are indispensable to the body of Christ. And if you think of how we often talk of our bodies with such emphasis on the eyes, oh, she has such beautiful eyes, or my, he has great muscles, or have you ever seen her ankles, or we just go for the appearance, we go for the eyesight, we talk about someone's lips, we talk about their beautiful hands, feet. But I'm here to tell you, you can live without the use of your feet. And you can live without the use of your hands. I'm a good example of that. I have deaf friends who will tell you you can live without use of your hearing, your ears. And many blind friends will say you can live real easily without your eyesight. But you can't live without your pancreas. You can't live without your lungs. You can't live without your liver. You can't live without your kidneys. Those are the unseemly parts of the body that we don't like to think about. We don't really know much about those parts of the body. We don't like to talk about it. And we never draw emphasis to it. But those are the critical parts of the body. You can live without your eyesight and your use of your feet and hands and all those things we think are so, we're all so enamored with. But we can't live without our pancreas and lungs and liver. And so disability ministry is, I think what Deb's been doing is trying to encourage us all to realize we need more pancreatic people, we need more liver kinds of ladies, we need kidney kinds of guys to come into our congregations, because these are the ones that God says are absolutely indispensable. So disability ministry is not an option. Deb said it so well, the last point right there, where she says we're all going to be in that category sooner or later, because age will just see to it that it'll happen. And if not age, then injury or an unexpected medical report. So building that disability ministry is a way of ensuring that your congregation is going to be well taken care of in the future. And you're right, Deb, I often say that the church should be messy. We should look out in our congregations and really see a lot of pancreatic people and liver kinds of ladies, and they never quite fit in. They, quote, seem to be weaker. We think they are less honorable. But they're not. They're absolutely critical, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22 says. So I just wanted to close with that illustration. And you showing the video, the DVD thing?
Neat. Colin, do we have our Heroes DVD queued up? Okay. We'd just like to show you who we think are heroes at Johnny and Friends.
Mama combs his hair and Daddy helps him brush his teeth. Day after day for 30 years, the same routine. The special needs he lives with makes life seem so unfair. But he thanks God every day, 'cause he knows Mom and Dad are there. And he hero, and she's a hero. It doesn't matter that nobody knows their name. They keep on giving to make life worth the living. Might go unnoticed, but they're heroes just the same.
They tried for many to have a baby of their own, but God knew a little girl that didn't have a home. Someone else Christ's burden was their blessing in disguise. And now she's got a mom and daddy there to hold her when she cries. And he's a hero, and she's a hero. It doesn't matter that nobody knows their name. They keep on giving to make life worth the living. Might go unnoticed, but they're heroes just the same. Every single parent who must carry twice the load, and those who sacrifice to raise a child that's not their own. Nobody knows their name. They keep on giving to make life worth living. Might go unnoticed, but they're heroes just the same. They might go unnoticed, but they're heroes.
So much for coming. Please know that we want to help. We're just a phone call, email away, and we'd love to help you. You know, whether it's just a question or you'd like us to come and help you start something in your church, we really appreciate you being here today, just on behalf of families that are not included right now. So thank you. Do you mind if I pray over you guys? Just, Father, I just thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that you know the very people you're calling us to. Lord, give us eyes to see where you want us to be, who are our people, the people you want us to serve, to befriend, to be kind to include, to encourage, to offer help, to be a friend. Lord, you are the most faithful friend, and there are people out there that don't know you. Lord, today, would you water any seed you planted so that your kingdom would come for your glory right here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, and I pray this in your Son's precious name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.